D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. So I'm a little late to this, but before the show...
You're about a year too late.
I think I'm a couple of years late to this.
Yeah, you may be.
But
right.
Before the show, we have MLB Network on in the studio, and they were showing an old clip of a Miami Marlins ball boy who went viral for picking off a fair ball and throwing it into the crowd.
That poor kid. Well, man.
But my favorite part about it was how cool he thought he looked as he scooped it up off the backhand and
style points
nonchalantly threw it into the crowd. And man, oh man, is there nothing worse than when you try to do something cool and you look like a fool?
I think we've
unknowingly
all, yes,
because he thought he had executed it exactly the way he wanted. It's a very replayed clip on Major League Baseball Network that they always have fun with. They need to have that guy on the show because we're all asking questions. Did he lose his job? Where is he now?
Yeah.
This is like a year ago. Like, did he get fired or did he get another job with another team? Or is he like a celebrity now?
He could be. I want to know what happened the day he went back to his neighborhood, his house, wherever. What was it like when he walked through those doors or walked into his neighborhood or went to his local bar with his buddies? Oh, man, if it was like my friend, oh, man, they would have been ribbing him all day, every day. He wouldn't have ever been able to live it down. I wouldn't have, but he wouldn't have ever been able to live this down. So I wonder what this kid's doing.
Here's the best part of the clip. The outfielder for the Marlins, as he approaches, he just has his hand on his hip like this. One hand on the hip. Like, come on, man. Like, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed. But look, we all want to be Fonzie with the jukebox, right? We all just want to pound it and play the song. Nobody ever looks as cool as the Fonz, of course.
No.
Nope.
But, you know, I'm certain in my life when I was younger, I tried to do something cool to impress somebody. And man, oh man, did I probably look like I was going to say Jack something. I don't know if I can say that on the air. Nevertheless.
Jack Wagon?
That works.
A donkey. Basically.
Yes.
Yes.
So I want to start today's show on this. I used to do this exercise every summer in my previous life. I would do Predators fan surveys, and I would ask 10 to 12 questions about the state of the franchise, and I always thought they were informative. It provided me a solid gauge of where the Predators fan base was at the end of a season. And as we approach the busiest time of the NHL offseason, the first round of the NHL draft is tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Free agency starts Tuesday at 11 a.m. Central. So right when we get on the air on Tuesday, a lot of money is going to be flying around in the NHL. I thought this would be a good time to repurpose one of those questions. So this is the question I have for all of you at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. On a scale from 1 to 5, with 5 being the highest, how confident are you that Barry Trotz can return the team to Stanley Cup contender status? So scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the highest. Let me know. I'll try to tally the votes as quickly as I can. Also provide an explanation. So if it's 5, tell me why. If it's 1, tell me why. Also for 2, 3, and 4. But I acknowledge, guys, that if we had done this same exercise on July 2nd, 2024, Barry Trotz would be getting a lot of high marks. But after the season the Predators just had, I imagine that it's going to skew lower. But now we have 2 seasons of Barry Trotz as Predators general manager. He's about to enter a critical part of the offseason with the draft, with a number 5 overall pick and free agency. So I'm just curious where Predators fans are right now with Barry Trotz. So let me know, 615-737-1025. So when you look at the total body of work, Willie, of Barry Trotz as GM, and if you would like, you can also include the time where it was announced that David Poyle was retiring, that Barry Trotz was coming in, because Barry Trotz did play a role, if I recall correctly, in the 2023 trade deadline sell-off with Matthias Ekholm and Mikael Granlund, among others. But when you look at the overall body of work of Barry Trotz as GM, how would you rate him right now?
I think that part of it is interesting, whether, because I think you could argue either way that it wasn't officially on his watch that David Poyle could sort of say, this was my gift to you. I'm setting you up with assets. I think I look at it more that way than Barry Trotz actually orchestrated those moves. I think David Poyle did that so that Barry Trotz would have something to work with. I think you'd probably give him straight A's the first year and straight, you know, D's or whatever, or F's, whatever you want to say. It went great the first year, poorly the second year. And this third year is going to be, I think, a critical year, a crossroads year, because it comes down to what we've debated, I think, very healthily. Is that right? Healthily?
Healthily?
Yeah.
Nah.
We've had a healthy debate.
There we go.
About,
yes,
what the right move is in terms of trying to balance, trying to rebound this particular year with also keeping your eye on having a team in 2028, 2029, when all of this marinating you've done at the farm system needs to produce results. I said this yesterday. They are not going to be predicted to go to the playoffs this year. I think regardless of what moves they may or may not make in the coming days, I think they're going to be on the outside looking in terms of the predictions. But I think everything that went wrong last year could swing back, and they could be a solid team next year if it falls into place. But that's not the end game, right? That's just to try to keep your fans entertained, keep a, as Barry Trotz said, keep a winning expectation, keep a winning feeling in the organization. Because I do think it doesn't get discussed enough with analysts sometimes that when you get a habit of losing for 4, 5, 6 years, it gets that much harder to get that culture back. So I think that's part of the plan here. But navigating this year, I think we're saying for the first time, he's hit some growing pains as a GM that he's going to have to learn from.
Yeah, I think he does. You know, let's start off with, you know, him coming in and, you know, signing, you know, key veterans, making coaching changes. He went from one coach in John Hines to hiring Brunette, you know, signed some key veterans, you know, O'Reilly being one of them. But then he had to turn over the roster and got rid of some young guys, R. Scoff being the biggest name out there that we were discussing during that time. He got rid of Cody Glass, Tomasino, Parson, and guys like that. But then you see what he did last season and going out and getting those three big guys to improve the team on what they did the previous season toward the end, and it just didn't work. At least it didn't work last year. I'm sort of like Willie. I wouldn't necessarily give him an A to start off, but he did a good job at, I think, setting a vision for the team. So if you want to call that an A, call it an A. I just say he passed the first test of being a GM at the beginning. You know, but then what happened last season sort of, you know, put the fan base in a situation where, you know, after 2 years of making moves, it seems like, yeah, it worked 1 year, but then it didn't work last year. Hopefully it works this year. So fans are still holding on. They're optimistic, I believe. But it is going to come a time where, you know, these moves that Trotz have made with this team, they got to start working out.
Let's go to Nate from Columbia on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Nate, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
What's up, guys? Finally, Verizon is allowing me to call. What a great day, right?
Thank you, Verizon.
So, I unfortunately am giving Barry Trotz a 1, because that's the lowest benchmark that you've set. I don't think that there's too much expansion era blood still in the organization. And with basically Sean Henry, even if he wasn't here for the first couple of years, I still count him because he's been here forever. Former David Poyle was 25 years GM. I know he's not anymore. But Barry was the first coach. Burnett is the first goal scorer for the Preds. There's just too much expansion era blood for me. I know that we just got a new assistant coach that has no ties to the Preds or Burnett whatsoever, but I think you need more than just a new assistant coach from outside the organization.
Explain what you mean by expansion era Preds. What's wrong with that? Like, they're clearly not acting like an expansion team. They're spending to the cap. Like, if anything, they went too aggressive. That's not an expansion era. So what do you mean by expansion era?
The way that, and I am truly concerned, I know, Willie, you're going to have a fit about this, but the Preds always draft defensemen, and I will lose my mind if they draft a defenseman at number five.
They're not going to.
I don't think you have to worry about
there's
that, Nate.
There's zero chance that happened. When's the last time they drafted a defenseman? Number one. I'm trying to think.
You mean for the first pick?
Yeah. Dante Fabbro?
Yeah.
That's the last one? So that was 8 years ago, nine years ago?
First that comes to mind, at least.
Nate, I'm trying to hear you out, right? But have they drafted a defenseman with the first pick in the last however many drafts? Or would you say they always draft defensemen? They've clearly had way more success drafting defensemen than forwards. But when you say there's expansion era, I think they've really emphasized trying to pick forwards. Like LaRue, Svechkov, Tomasino, they drafted Askarov was a first-round pick. Help me out here.
The last
Adam.
Time their first pick in a draft was a defenseman was Dante Fabbro in 2016.
2016. So that's 10 years. We're going on a decade here.
I mean, there's always room for another, ain't there?
Right. But your statement was they always draft defensemen with the first pick.
Thank you for the call, Nate. So, Okay. But
I get what he's trying to say in regard. Like, you got – and I don't see anything wrong with it, but I understand what he's saying. He's saying you have too many guys that were on this initial start of the Predators. It's 20-some years later, and you still got, like, remnants of that.
Yeah.
So I understand that part. But I don't know if that's bad.
It's a mix. Yeah. Like, Barry Trotz, I think what's unique is he left, went to some other places.
Exactly. I can see if he stayed here the whole time.
Yes.
Andrew Burnett has been in a million places since he was here.
I do want to offer one slight correction. So Tanner Molendijk was a first-round pick in 2023,
but he was not
the first of the Predators' picks. Matthew Wood was at number 15, Molendijk at number 24. But the last time the Predators...
And Molendijk looks like a pretty good prospect.
But the last time the Predators used the first pick of their draft capital on a defenseman was Dante Fabbro nearly 10 years ago.
I still rest my case.
I hear what you're saying. Let's run through some of these texts.
Have they drafted well? No. I mean, the jury's out, and these last few drafts are critical, but this is part of the reason why they're where they are, is they don't have great picks from, say, 2015 through 2020,
right,
that are helping them right now.
Right.
We talked about the Titans ad nauseum with that.
Right, and we went through this last summer and even into the season when the Predators traded Yaroslav Askarov and they traded Philip Tomasino and they waived Dante Fabbro, that all of those first round picks, Fabbro, Tolvanen, Tomasino, Askarov, they're no longer with the organization for one reason or another. So I think that is sort of
Tolvanen so there's a list of them.
Right.
And I think Askarov is kind of in his own case because of all the circumstances there, but some of those guys were good NHL players, but they weren't going to be needle movers anyway. It's that's what they need, is they need to draft a needle mover.
So here are some responses on our text line, and we have a lot of them at 615-737-1025. You can call, you can text. John from Nashville says a 4 if allowed adequate time, so a 4 out of 5. Let's see here. One texter says right now I give him a 3. Boring on my part, but it seems he cannot decide between going for the future or now. Brian says, I give him a 2. After a horrific season with little to no changes afterwards in the goalie contract for a player who has not met expectations for most fans, I am a fan of Trotz, but not as a GM. As you can tell, I'm ready for a major shakeup. One texter says, Trotz equals 3. Some of his moves are puzzling, and I don't think they benefited the team. Biggest question, and this we can touch on this quickly, Willie, and it sort of goes off what we were just talking about. Biggest question, why can't our assets produce well on other teams?
Why can't they?
C-A-N. Why can?
Such as who?
So I'll give you an example, and it's not even that great of an example. When Philip Tomasino left Nashville and went to Pittsburgh, I think he had a really good start. I'm looking up his game log here.
He went wild in the first few games.
In his first 5 games with the Penguins, he had 4 points in 5 games, 3 goals, and an assist. Overall, Philip Tomasino, after leaving Nashville, had 23 points in 50 games for the Penguins, 11 goals, 12 assists. But Predators fans see,
in some cases, playing with
Evgeny Malkin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I would say that, is he really excelling? No. Now,
but people look at those first 5 games, right? He goes nuts. 3
right.
goals and
now
an
Fabro
assist.
Clearly excelled
yes.
after they left, and they didn't
yes.
get anything for him. And I think Tolvanen, to be fair, has been a solid, solid player for the Kraken that the Predators would probably love to have, especially for the money he makes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, have any of these guys come back to really haunt them as star players? No.
The one who could, I don't know if you would call him a star, but the one who could is Dante Fabro.
A star?
No, I didn't say a star. I said not a star, but the one who of those players who could come back to bite them, because he went to Columbus and he thrived in a top pairing role.
Playing with a great player in Werenski,
right.
and he was playing a lot with Roman Josi while he was here.
Right. So, in hindsight, I don't remember being too upset about, too bent out of shape about the Predators waiving Dante Fabro at the time, so this is in hindsight.
Right.
But
and he's a good player. I wonder what he's going to sign for. Right? What's his contract? And the next thing is he helping a team win playoff series? And the Columbus is still a ways from that, right? They haven't made the playoffs in 5 years, Columbus. So, once again, that's you hate to get nothing for a good player like Fabro. Disappointed, especially a guy you drafted in the first round. And he never met the expectations that they had, because he came in with a pretty good opening act, right? He jumped right into the lineup and looked like he was going to be that next
scored
guy.
A big goal for the Predators at the end of that regular season.
Yeah, to get him a division title.
Yes.
Right? That looks pretty good now. But he never really built on it consistently. So the guys they've moved on from, like I said, are good players, but they haven't, it's not like they've moved on to really excel.
Like you're the Buffalo Sabres. Think about how many players have moved on from Buffalo.
Right.
Sam Reinhart and Jack Eichel and even Ryan O'Reilly. After Ryan O'Reilly left the Sabres, he was a veteran player but went on to win the Stanley Cup. It's happened a lot. It could happen again. J.J. Paterka, a young winger who wanted out of Buffalo, was traded to Utah.
Yeah,
maybe he's the next
Dylan
one.
Dylan Cousins. These are all guys that we
the Predators. The Predators haven't had that recently, at least off the top of my head, of a guy who the Predators gave up on who flourished somewhere else.
I mean, we would say Tolvanen has flourished the most of any of the players in this group, and it remains to be seen on Askarov, right? That one we won't know the answer to in the and that was a trade. They got things for him. They're about to use one of the assets on Friday night. One of the first-round picks they have is for Askarov, plus David Edstrom, who is one of their top 5 or 6 prospects right now. So that's when we got to track for another 5 years before we really know.
615-737-1025. My question for all of you, on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the highest, how confident are you that Barry Trotz can return the Predators to Stanley Cup contender status? We have a lot of reaction. We will continue to get to it. I also kind of just want to look at the timeline of the moves that Barry Trotz has made since he took over the big chair, and look what he did well, and look at what he did well and what he hasn't done well. 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Predators, tomorrow you can join us at Bridgestone Arena for a party like no other and celebrate the future of Smashville at the Predators 2025 NHL Draft Party. More details at thegamenashville.com/events. Catch 1025 The Game's Draft Night in Smashville tomorrow starting at 6 o'clock, powered by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 429.
When you first got here, you said on this show, you said, hey, fans, be patient with us.
Yeah.
Be, you know, this is going to take some time. There may be some pain involved.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that because I viewed that as being honest with the fans. When it comes to the expectations for this upcoming season, what would you tell the fans the expectations for them should be?
Well, I think two things. A, let's look for Nashville to rebound, to be in that mix again, you know, in that, sort of be in that playoff hunt, and you're going to see young players, a lot more young players as call-ups than you did in the past. You know, in the last couple of years, who have been the call-ups? Jankowski, good player, older, but he's not going to move the needle 5 years from now. You're going to see young guys. You're going to see Kemmel, who's still 20 years old, believe it or not, and he seems like he's been around forever. Guys like Schaefer, you saw, you know, Weisblatt, the LaRues that we have in the organization, those type of guys are going to get chances to play. So the combination of solid veteran stars like Stamkos and Marchessault, Josi coming back and Lauzon, and our team play being more consistent to give us a chance. Because our team the year before didn't have near as much talent as we had this year. But played better as a 5-5 team, played better in almost every aspect except the power play and penalty kill. And it just flipped on us last year. So trying to get that balance and get that joy back in Smashville that become a hard team to play against again.
That was Barry Trotz with Jared Stillman the other day. On the scale from 1 to 5, with 5 being the highest, how confident are you that Barry Trotz can return the team to Stanley Cup contender status, taking a page out of an old playbook of mine? 615-737-1025. One texter says, Trotz is doing fine. 7 or 8. Not the assignment. 1 to 5. Not 7 or 8.
Follow the instructions.
He meant 3 or 4.
You ever have a teacher do that, like, you know, not give you the benefit of the doubt, like, have a stringent, you didn't follow the instructions. You didn't follow, you didn't read the instructions.
But did I get it right? Yeah, but you didn't read the instructions.
I am a stickler for details. I said 1 to 5, but this texter says Trotz is doing fine, 7 or 8. Not perfect, Askarov in parentheses, and I wish he'd tear it down. However, he's not trading future high round draft picks away. His draft picks are still too early to know, but early returns look promising, and I think it's a difference he made. He has said he wants his scouts taking big swings, and their first round picks show that so far. Surin and Mullendyke in parentheses. Poile wanted first round picks that were surefire NHL players, which meant he would take a third liner over a boom or bust.
I hope that was a voice text and not you sit there and wrote that whole thing. That's a long text.
That was a long text.
It was a long text. It was a good one. But I think it's right where I said it is when we're talking about Trotz. I think it's right in the middle. You know, when he took the job, everything seemed promising. Last year was like, it didn't go quite. Now I think people are waiting on that third act. It's like that third movie. Like, okay, the first one was really good. The second one was, hopefully they can come back and recapture on a third one some of what they had in the first one.
So I thought it would be interesting to just look back at the major moves that Trotz has made since he took over the big chair for David Poile. So not every move is going to be in there. I may have some moves, you know, out of chronological order. I will do my best to have them in the right order. The first two things that Barry Trotz did when he really took over for David Poile were trading Ryan Johansson and buying out Matt Duchene. I don't think anybody is complaining about the Predators trading Ryan Johansson. The Duchene one is interesting because I understand why the Predators did it. It was less about on ice and more about culture.
And also return on investment. All of that put together.
And Duchene has had an incredibly productive couple of years with the Dallas Stars, and he just re-signed with the Dallas Stars. If I'm not mistaken, he was their leading scorer last season. I don't know if it was in points or in goals. I can't remember.
I think points, yeah. I think so.
So I know Predators fans, and we did have a texter mention this. You know, it would have been great to have Matt Duchene this year, but I don't ding Barry for that as much. I understood why he did it at the time. Then yeah.
He wanted to make an impactful change on the room, right? His word was he thought it had gotten a little stale, and that was a big move to take two guys that were making $8 million a year, two of their highest paid guys who were not producing at that level, and he wanted to shake it up. And that worked extremely well. So I don't think I have any regrets. I do think it's a fair thing to say. Matt Duchene, the way he plays, might have been a pretty nice fit with the way Andrew Brunette likes to play. And we'll never know the answer to that. But the enigma that Duchene was, and Johansson for that matter, and the way they wanted to sort of reshape the room, I think you put all that together. I think still he should be given good marks for that.
So those were the first two major moves that he made as Predators GM. In his first free agency, he brings in Ryan O'Reilly, Gus Nyquist, and Luke Shen. Ryan O'Reilly has been an important member of this team. The Predators got a good return on investment for Gus Nyquist. They turned him into a second-round pick.
Yep. And got one amazing season from him.
They did. A career year, 70-plus
75 points.
Right, 70-plus points.
It's a great signing, and then they get a second-round pick.
With Luke Shen, let's see how good Michael Bunting can be for this team.
That's a TBA.
Right. So
because people, let's be honest.
Jury's out on the Shen.
Right, but Luke Shen, I think, provided a lot of value to the room and a lot of value in some of the intangibles with the physicality, the protection, and he did some very good things on the ice. But from a fan standpoint, if you're going to sit here and say, I can't believe they gave away Luke Shen was he absolutely was getting battered by the fans, right? Why do they have Luke Shen and all that, right? There's always that guy, and it's usually a defenseman that doesn't score much that gets ridiculed by the fans. So Michael Bunting, you know, we'll see what happens for 1 year, but if Bunting does what he normally does, he's going to drive you crazy in some nights, but he's going to have his nights as well. I think he will serve a purpose. The Tomasino part of it is TBA.
Right. I'll lump all of those moves together. They traded Philip Tomasino, right? They traded Cody Glass. They didn't waive Cody Glass, right?
Right. They traded Cody Glass.
They traded Cody Glass.
They basically had to give him away.
They waived Dante Fabro. I'll lump those all in together. That'll largely depend, in my opinion, on what happens with Fabro, because Fabro looked really good in Columbus. And if he continues on that path, that could be a mistake.
I think Dante Fabro is going to be a good player in the league for a long time.
Then you have the trade of Yaroslav Askarov. That's a big one.
That's a big one.
That's a big one. And I think how you feel about Barry Trotz, that move has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Because if you were on the Avengers, like Willie and Derek, the pro-Saros crowd during the what Jared calls the Station Civil War in the summer of 2024, that move, I think, I feel like that might be the litmus test of how you feel about Barry Trotz as a GM, the trading of Yaroslav Askarov.
And I think right now you're not feeling good because of the way Saros played last season. And you can't say, because Askarov hasn't done anything. So I think everything is leaning toward, you know, it's so heavy on the way Saros play rather than, you know, what our Askarov is doing. So, you know, just like, you know, Barry, I think Saros has to have a bounce back year, a much better year.
And then, of course, the big haul in free agency nearly 1 year ago with Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, and Brady Shea. The Predators have definitely not gotten a good return on their investment there. We'll see what happens. And then you can sprinkle in some of the other moves, trading Alex Carrier for Justin Barron. Am I missing an obvious one there? No, I think I already touched on the Tomasino in the Glass. And the
Parsonen.
Yeah, no.
They traded it. I mean,
I guess you could, in concert, you could include the signing of Scott Wedgwood and then trading him a couple of months later for Eustace Onanen, and you can tie that into the Askarov deal and the, because it's all involving the goalies, right?
Did you say Novak and Shen?
Novak, Tommy Novak is an important one. Signing Novak and then giving up on him about a year into that contract.
It's quick.
Right. So all told.
Because it was really Novak for Bunting is right. I think mm-hmm. what you're looking at. That's the more crux of that trade.
Right.
Right.
All told, I land at a three. I think three
is fair.
I land at a three. I know, as the texter said earlier, it's kind of boring, but there has been some good. There has been some bad. We need to see what happens with these free agents next season to see if this past season was a one-off or the start of a troubling trend with these older players who they signed in free agency last July 1st. And it definitely matters about what they do with the number 5 overall pick. 6-1-5-7.
Can I make one last point?
Yes, of course.
One texture I think hit a key thing, and that is because I think if you really look at it, David Poile over a long, long period of time did pick his spots to take big swings. But the big swings thing has been something that Barry Trotz said he was going to do at the beginning from the drafting standpoint. And I think you could say, in retrospect, last July 1, he clearly took some big swings. It didn't work. But if you're one of those fans that say, we got to go for it, you know, this is a prevailing thing in all sports, right? More often than not, fans want you to go for it, right?
Yeah.
So you can't mark, if you're going to mark Barry Trotz down for those weren't fits, I think that's where you can probably be critical, that maybe he didn't foresee how hard it was going to be for those guys to fit. But taking the big swing, the decision to take a big swing, you know, I think you're probably being a little hypocritical if you're going to say, in retrospect, they shouldn't have done that.
Don't you think by saying that, Shouldn't it have been a more calculated big swing? Because you know that these guys may not work well together.
That's a fair question.
Okay.
That I think is a better criticism than actually trying to do what they did.
615-737-1025 again. Scale of 1 to 5, not 7 or 8, like that one texter. Scale of from 1 to 5 again. 1, 5. 5 being the highest. How confident are you that Barry Trotz can return the team to Stanley Cup contender status? We will continue to take your reaction. 615-737-1025. Tune in to ESPN 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. I'm a fan of Jumbo Shrimp, particularly with cocktail sauce. Pre-game begins at 5:50 p.m. and the first pitch is at 6:05. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. George Plaster will join us at the top of the noon hour. He knows Barry Trotz. We'll talk more about Barry Trotz.
He knows Barry Trotz very well. In fact, and I'm going to say 1999 would have been the year, maybe 2000. The Special Olympics were going on over at Vanderbilt. Volunteers, Donick, Trotz, and Plaster at the finish line of the sprints. It was like the 100-yard dash or something like that. It was the most fun we had. The Special Olympics are awesome, mm-hmm. but our job was basically to high-five everybody that came across the finish line and put the medals on. We had we go back a long way. Barry and George have known each other a lot. They have an interesting relationship. So I think George's perspective on Barry Trotz will be good, because George, kind of like Jarrett, certainly is not afraid to be critical. But at the same time, I think he knows Barry on a level that a lot of media do not.
One texter says, on our scale of 1 to 5, I'm giving him a 2 for 2 main reasons. 1, he stuck with the wrong goalie. The UC Soros contract is a real failure at this point, although the contract hasn't officially started yet.
It hasn't started.
Refusing to move on from Brunette when NHL teams change coaches like they change clothes. Less patience and less loyalty than even the Premier League, yet Trotz is acting like Jerry Jones with Jason Garrett and Mike McCarthy.
And time will tell whether his belief and his DNA as a coach, and I think this is another thing about Barry Trotz that will shape how it goes. But there are, as we pointed out during the season, there are very few former coaches that become GMs. It's less than you would think.
I can't think of any others off the top of my head that are current general managers. A lot of former players. I can't think of a former coach. You know, Lou Lamoriello would come down off.
He was a coach. Right. Yeah.
But he has since left the New York Islanders. I remember a few times Lamoriello coming down from the GM box to coach the Devils, I think. Maybe once or twice, I can't recall.
And he got his start, I believe, as a coach, right? He was Providence College coach for a while on the way up, way, way back. But so his DNA is coach. But it can be a great strength, but it can also probably create some blind spots. Everybody's got strengths and weaknesses in their profile. But I think that's one to keep in mind with Barry Trotz. I knew the Soros contract would come up. So let's point out, we just did this exercise during the break because we knew this was going to come up. The Soros contract hasn't started yet, but he is going to get a pay raise. The cap is going up. If you're wondering off the top of your head where he ranks in highest paid goalies, it's 10th.
Make sure you tell the listeners that I basically nailed the list I had.
You did nail the list. Soros.
I just want to pat
myself
on the back.
This coming year, with the raise, which he hasn't gotten yet, and keep in mind that Leon Draisaitl is about to get a raise almost double what he's making right now. Now, that's a huge raise. Now, Draisaitl is an unbelievably good player. I think he'll be worth the $14 million. But that is a big pill to swallow when you go from, what was he making? 6.8?
I'll have to look that up.
7.8, something like that. He's going from about 8 to 14, I think, if I got this right.
Draisaitl is going from 8.5
to 14. So getting in the ballpark of doubling the salary. Now, that's you got to make some moves. UC Soros is going from 5 to 7.74. So that alone isn't going to blow up your budget just by that raise, especially with the cap going up. He is 10th in this coming year. So if you think it's a bloated contract that's not going to age well, I will push back on that for right now. And because his ranking will not go up, right? If anything, it's going to go down over the course of the years as the cap goes up. That contract could age well. It is going to be up to UC Soros to play his best. But if he plays at the level that he's played for the bulk of his career, and last year was an off year, and it was a terrible year for the team, he's going to be worth that contract. I will die on that hill, as you guys already know.
Yes.
No way.
Because I am an Avenger. I just watched.
I just watched
Infinity Endgame.
Willie, you are more than dead on that hill, man. Your corpse is rotting on that hill.
No, I'm not a corpse. I'm alive.
Alive and still fighting.
Yeah. Oh,
fending people off.
One texter says, "How serious is the medical issue with Roman Josi? This isn't going to turn into another Shea Weber long-term injury reserve type contract, is it?" Well, we will talk about Roman Josi later in the program.
It's a good question.
So stay tuned. Stay tuned for that. Joel in Woodbury says 5+. I will allow that, Joel, because you stuck to 1 through 5. 5+. I absolutely expect a bounce back season. But if not, great. I'm down to be part of the Gavin McKenna sweepstakes. Gavin McKenna is the projected number one overall pick next year, who a lot of people believe is in that Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews realm of that franchise changing number one overall pick, which probably doesn't exist this year. Jeff on our text line says, given the amount of turnover since the 2023 offseason, out 15 to 17 NHL players, he's responsible for the defense, save Josi and Lauzon, and the Duchesne buyout. He gets a 3/incomplete. While I'm having my doubts, I'm maintaining some hope. So that was Jeff on the text line. Josh in Nevada says, he's a 4. He's pretty confident in Barry Trotz. Oh, okay. Here come the texters, Willie. Here come the Soros texters. Look what you did. That can of worms, you had to pry it open.
Get your stands right. Get your stands
right. All right.
It's about to be a battle.
Get ready. Here we go.
I am ready. I don't get ready. I am ready.
Yes. You don't have to get ready when you stay ready.
That's right.
And that's how Willie Donick feels about UC Soros. Skyler says, an 8-year contract for a 30-year-old goalie, instead of sticking with the young guy Askarov while trying to rebuild, in quotes, as well as signing the vets on the wrong side of 30 to their contracts, has forced Trotz to be all in going for it and cannot give him more than a 3 out of 5. He needs to show the fan base something to be confident about. He showed a lot of rookie GM work, I think a lot of people think. Okay? Chip from Mount Juliet.
I will push back on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Has he gone all in?
Well, this is the
all in would mean trading a lot of future assets. That's where I would push back on the all in. He has not gone all in.
You and Jared agree on this point. You disagree about a lot
right.
when it comes to the Predators, but you do agree all on
in,
this point.
All in is factually wrong.
Chip from Mount Juliet says Saros may be a cheap contract annually, but it's a 10-year. Well, I guess if you include when they sign, I don't know. It's a 10-year, and his performance is shaky at best.
10-year.
I assume he means.
The previous contract?
He says 8-year. Now he's changing it to 8-year. Yes, he's changing it to 8-year. He texted as I was trying to explain it. So thank you, Chip.
But look, let's not have too much of a short-term memory and just cast aside the four consecutive top six Vezina seasons. Like, let's not forget that. That's all I would say.
Let's see if there are any more. Hair Metal Henry says, the Saros contract may not be good in terms of length, but the cost is just the price of doing business nowadays. Now, Willie, quickly.
Or he's a bargain along those lines because so, I think the 8.25 is much more. There are a lot of goalies that fit his profile that are getting more than him.
Do you still have the list up of the goalies?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think this would be informative. So how many goalies did you say are going to be paid more per season, cap hit wise, than Saros next season?
9.
Okay, so 9, and we're not including Carey Price.
Carey Price is on the list, but he's obviously
His career is
he's in the Shea Weber category.
Yes, yeah. And some of the names on that list are goalies who you would expect to be paid more than UC Saros, like Sergei Bobrovsky or Connor Hellebuck or Jake Oettinger. But then there are some
Andre Vasilevsky,
right? But they've won the Stanley Cup on at least one occasion.
Vezina trophies.
Right. But then there are some goalies on that list that may surprise people who are making more money than UC Saros per year next season.
Okay. Linus Ullmark would definitely be one who hasn't done anything, really. He's won a Vezina, but if you're in the Vezina thing is great, but you got to win in the playoffs. Well, Ullmark would be on the list.
And
of goalies.
He was a tandem goalie.
With Jeremy Swayman.
Who also gets paid more than UC
also
Saros.
Also was on the list of guys who are going to get more than UC Saros that really haven't climbed the mountain of the postseason. Because the rap on UC Saros is, the regular season, he's elevated his team in the regular season, which is not nothing. That's a huge thing. And you see what happens when he didn't have the Superman cape all year last year. So he's got to get you there. I mean, the goalie has to get you there and then has to, in the playoffs, take you to where you want to go in the playoffs. Swayman and Ullmark. Oettinger, who's won playoff series, but you can see he's played a lot of playoff games, but he's had a varying thing. He got pulled, right, famously in the last game that he played. So I think he's well worth the 8.25. In my book, you pay the good goalie. Like, I'm totally fine investing in the goalie. There's a section of people, some who work on the morning show and one that works on the afternoon show, that think just pay any goalie. Just have a decent goalie, and you can win. That's not how I would build a roster myself. But Vasilevsky, Bobrovsky, no-brainers. Shesterkin, they've made a huge investment in him in 11.5, right? He hasn't taken them to a cup or anything like that, but he's had some ups and downs. But by and large, he's an incredible talent.
Quickly, like when you look at recent Stanley
and
Cup champion.
Then there's Hellebuck, right? There's another guy who has
who just
wrap
won
up
the MVP.
Right, but had struggles in the playoffs.
Yes.
And they haven't gone deep into the playoffs in a long, long time.
Right.
Right?
He just became the first goalie in a decade to win the Hart Trophy. But I think it's funny when you have the argument about, you know, you can win the Stanley Cup with any goalie.
Sorokin is another guy, right? Who hasn't really had any playoff success to speak of, right?
So I'm looking at recent Stanley Cup champions quickly, and if you want to make the argument that you don't need a great goalie to win, it's funny because you look at recent champions and you can really argue either side. The Florida Panthers just won back-to-back Stanley Cups with Sergei Bobrovsky. The Vegas Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup with Aiden Hill. The Colorado Avalanche won the Stanley Cup with Darcy Kemper. The Lightning won the Stanley Cup with Andre Vasilevsky. The Blues won the Stanley Cup with a young Jordan Binnington. You know, the right. Capitals and, with Braden Holtby.
Binnington, Hill, and Kemper, a lot of on the wings of those performances, have earned really good contracts. They're just behind Saros. But it's not like those guys continue to make $2 or $3 million, right?
I want to end on this text. One texter when we were talking about the length of the contract versus the money of the contract. My complaint with UC is not the money. It is the length of time invested and the opportunity cost of losing the young Russian stud. Cost is fine, but he's going to need a big rebound to even be worth 10th best money again. Last year was terrifying. I think we can all agree.
Sure.
That UC Saros needs to bounce back. 615-737-1025. George Plaster will join us coming up next for our regular conversation. As Willie said, he goes a long way back with Barry Trotz. So I would love to get George Plaster's thoughts on this subject, and we will do so next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.